There is skinny jeans on non-skinny people, and they support it, and I support it, too. Go, you're allowed skinny jeans, too.
Of course. You live your life. We're living in a free society here. Do whatever
full
you want.
Full boiler overlapping everything. And you, there, look at these shorts.
Look at them running towards victory.
I swear to God, Strutty has a pair of the red shorts. He wears them around.
I'll tell you
in the summer.
What. We got a first question. It's hot outside. What happens to his wardrobe when he goes out and about? The tight short stuff? I want to know it all.
Okay, let's bring him in. Here's our buddy out in Edmonton, Jason Strudwick. Go ahead, O. Pose that question. Start grilling Strutty on
Strutty,
wardrobe.
It's getting hot. What kind of changes in scenery do we get to see? Do you pull out the tight, like Lululemon, like fitted shorts, or what's your move?
Yeah, like the 5-inch shorts. Those are back in style. Like I look at Scotty Barnes shorts he wore at the Raptors this year. Those are getting towards Larry Bird territory, right?
They were.
I'm not a big fan. I mean, he pulls them off. I can't do it though. You know, I don't like to reveal too much. I like to leave some to the imagination.
Okay.
So what do you fire up to get some little you know head turns and head nods at the grocery store?
I still wear I like the board shorts, you know. I will not wear a tank top. I cannot. I've got really long arms, thick, like muscular arms, but they don't look good in a tank top. So even when Noodles and I go to Vegas, Noodles always has he always goes to the tank top. You know, he's got those shorter arms.
I've never worn a tank top in my life, and don't lie, you wear biker shorts around.
I do because I do ride my bike a lot, so I have those really tight ones, right, where there's not a lot of secrets, but they are comfortable to ride in, you know. I just keep in my crouch, though. I don't get off and talk to anybody.
Yeah, the biker gear, like the really committed biker guy, it's the weirdest look. Like, they get the spiky shoes and the helmet. Yeah.
Dude, what about the guy that's got a pro boiler and he's got the Lance Armstrong tight yellow jersey on and his ass and his gut are hanging everywhere? He doesn't need, does he not know that he can just wear a pair of sweatshorts and a t-shirt?
Honestly, like, come on.
He's looking for every hill to go down, right? Just to get momentum, get gravity on his side.
There's a lot of them out there. Well, Strutty, I don't know if you're a believer in momentum in the playoffs, but if you are, I guess you're happy in Edmonton, and that would suggest that people in Toronto should be not feeling so great. Like, what? How would you kind of compare and contrast how people in Edmonton and Toronto are going to feel tomorrow?
You know, I've been following both teams really closely, and I said this about both teams, you know, and a little bit more because of Edmonton, the way that their series has played out. But I think both organizations and you know, obviously the players have a chance to write a new story for their organization. You know, when I look at, you know, you see the stats about the Leafs and the trouble they've had in closing out series, and, you know, the Oilers, this would be the third series in a row where they lose in the first round. And there's a chance to change the narrative. And you know, if they both lose or one lose or whatever, it's the same story. Do we have to break up this group? Is management right? You know, what's the cap problem? Like, all that stuff. But if they get into the second round, and you never know what happens now you get into the second round, it changes that story. So I think it's a huge opportunity for both the Leafs and the Oilers to put a lot of this to bed. You know, it's closer to home here with the Oilers. I thought last night Connor McDavid came out and did what a leader was supposed to do. He came out and he's, guys, I'm going to score the first goal, guys. I'll be back in, you know, a couple minutes. And he scored. And at the end of the game, he had two great defensive plays. And this is an area that, you know, people have been critical of him in the past. But two plays defensively with, like, whatever it was, a minute and a half to go. On one side, he gets a shot. Instead of going for the breakaway shot, he just chips it out of the zone. That the Kings go and get it. They go D to D up the other side. He races back, steals the puck, passes up to Kane. Kane gets a breakaway and scores. So, you know, he had that complete game. So, you know, I really think that you know, the comeback from the Leafs in game 5 and then unfortunately lost last in game 6, both teams have a chance to change their story and they can write their story. So I don't think there should be nerves in those rooms. They should be excited because they can finally put a lot of this to bed and move forward as a group.
Strutty, the players, the great players you played with in the past in the National Hockey League, what kind of vibe or sense did you get from them in big moments, key games? I don't really want to ask you personally because you probably didn't play much in those situations. But just key guys, when they came to the rink, were they all business or like kind of just give me some insight into how they would kind of act on that game day?
Yeah, well, you know, like, you know, you're right. I was, you know, in the bottom third of any team I was on. But when the games got big, whether it was regular season or playoffs, you're looking at your big guys to set the tone. You know, they're not looking around at Jason Strudwick like, buddy, we could sure use a hat trick out of you tonight. You know, like that's not what they're doing. They're looking at the big guys. And, you know, for both of these teams, these Oilers and Leafs, they're looking at the big guys because the other team, they're looking for their big guys to do something. Now, doesn't mean the rest of the team can't contribute. Doesn't mean that they can't, you know, help out, but you're looking for your leadership guys to set the tone. And, you know, quite frankly, they need to. That's why you are a captain. That's why you're a leader. You're the highest paid player. You know, you have all this attention. It is your job to lead the group. So again, another opportunity. And I think, you know, there's so many similarities between these two organizations. Yeah, you know, we have a good time chirping everybody back and forth, but you know, both teams need this win. They need this game 7 win to move forward. And I really think it can help a franchise kind of get going and get spinning and get this story done. So I'm looking at whether it's Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Riley, you know, maybe Campbell over there. Then here you're looking at, you know, Nurse is coming back in. I think he should be a very motivated and excited player that he has a chance to play another game after the suspension he took. And then, you know, obviously McDavid, Lee, you know, Leon, we're not sure where he's at physically. But Evander Kane, I mean, 7 goals in 6 games. This guy's brought it. And his stat lines every night showing he's bringing it. Yamamoto, younger player, but there's a huge opportunity, and I keep talking about this because it's all the negative. Well, what if they lose? Well, yeah, what if they win? What if they find a way to win? And I think as a coach, that's how I present it. You know, guys, this is your chance to write a new story for this organization.
Exactly. I think that's really well put, Strudy, and it applies here, you know, as much as 100%. It does in Edmonton, you know, with the realities of recent history with the Leafs and even, you know, longer history. They haven't won a playoff series in 18 years as a franchise. That's an eternity in sports. And selfishly, I've been asked about it today. Like, what happens if they lose? To your point, it's always like, what if they lose? And I'm like, I guess I'll do the same show for an 11th year in a row on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's what we'll do. Or we do a very fresh show, a very different show. Selfishly, I've never had the ability to do that show. The three of us have been doing shows. We've done thousands and thousands of shows. We have not done one after the Leafs have won a playoff
run. Mix it up a little bit.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
Give us some life, like selfishly. Do it for overdrive, please. And I'm sure you're thinking the same thing out in Edmonton, Strudy.
Well, last night I was on Pins and Needles, and I was doing – someone pre-booked me for an interview in Ottawa, our good friends in Ottawa, the TSN station there. And I was like, oh, my God, please win. I don't want to have to do a post-mortem on the Oilers last night, you know, because I don't want to have that story anymore. And it's funny, you know, it isn't a huge difference getting to the second round, but I think for an organization, it feels like you've taken a step forward. And it's different. Like, you look at the Kings, I think they're playing with just house money. They can come out, and a lot of their young players are getting great experience right now. Deneau's looked great. Lazat, all these guys have looked great. Quick has found a way to kind of turn back the clock. With Tampa, you know, if they lose to the Leafs, it is a different conversation. You know, it's the same old story. Well, they lost some players. You know, they were Stanley Cup hungover after 2. It's not the same conversation. But for the Oilers and Leafs, it is the same conversation. And it would be the same. You know, are the managers under pressure? Are the coaches under pressure? The leaders of the teams under pressure? The depth players? Like, it all comes up. So I never played the Stanley Cup, but in junior, you know, and it's a long time ago, but I remember our coach there said, just play the first shift really well. Then we'll worry about the next shift. And you just take it shift by shift and just keep doing the right thing. And if you do the right thing and you believe in your system, and this is for both teams, not just the Oilers, you know, you do the right thing shift after shift, then your big guys, they come and step up. You should win the game. You know, unless something dramatic comes, you know, like a goalie breaks down completely or whatever. But if you do the right things, you should come out on top. Because I do believe the Oilers are a better team than the Kings. And I think the Leafs, you know, it's a little bit different. I think Tampa's a really strong team. But there's no reason to believe they can't win this game. And I can't believe I'm saying this about the Leafs, but that's reality. So I keep going back to it. Opportunity. And if they lose, either team or both teams, I believe it's a missed opportunity. And as a player, especially here in Edmonton, that's hard to live with. You know, I can tell you in all the years I played, I made it to the second round. It never felt like I was like, oh, man, we should have won that series. You know, we'd run up against Colorado with their studs or, like a Chicago or like a really, really good teams. You're never like, oh, boy, we could have won that series. No, the better team won. But here in Edmonton, it's a missed opportunity because the Kings are not as good as the Oilers. The Oilers should be able to beat them, but the Kings have played great. So, you know, for the team, you want to move forward, but for the players, it's missed opportunity, and you don't get a lot of those chances. You know, you also didn't get in the second round. Let's say it's Flames, Oilers in the second round. The Oilers have played the Flames well, you know, and you know, can they get the win? Austin, maybe you're into the third round, but it all has to start tomorrow night for both teams, and I cannot wait. I've already put my phone on lockdown for those 5 hours or whatever it's going to be. I'm going to watch this game, chip and dip party at my house, Diet Pepsi for noodles, obviously, maybe some Diet Dr. Pepper for O-Dog. We're going to have a good, I cannot wait for this game tomorrow night, these two games tonight, tomorrow night.
That's well put, Strutty. We've talked about this at length here, especially this last week. Is where are you at with the reffing? You know, overall in the first round of the playoffs, too tight, too loose. You know, not enough managing of the game. You know, certainly there's been some missed calls that have been talked about today. But you know, where are you at overall with the reffing, and what would you like to see?
You know, I don't know. I think the refs have a really hard job, right? They don't call enough, you know, like last year, and they're just getting crucified now. There are a group of people who think they're getting called too much. I just want to be consistent. As I watch the games, I want to feel like something is called, and I know I'll get called later in the game. You know, there was the situation last night in the other game where Anderson took down Drysdale. Now, I wasn't sure if it was a DDT or, you know, a pile driver, but he got him down, and he took him down for the three count. Like, that to me is it should be a penalty. Because he, Anderson, wisely went after the Oilers, one of their best players, and took him down, and maybe there's an injury on the play. And that's not an accident. You know, he's not doing that to, no disrespect to Josh Archibald. You know, he's not looking for Josh Archibald in the scrum. You're looking for the other team's best player. So I think that's a targeted decision by Anderson to try to injure a guy. And I get it. That's the game, right? That's what we're at. But I think the refs have to see that. And whether you want to call it games management or just calling the penalty, I think that should have been a penalty. But other than that, you know, when Mike Smith speared, who was the Anthony, that's a call. That's a call all day. At the end of the game, when Yamamoto didn't get the puck out and then he trips, I think it might have been Kepney.
I think it was Iafallo.
Yeah, so he trips them. That's a penalty. Like, why should anyone, Oilers fans are screaming, that's not a penalty. It is. He didn't get the puck out, so he tripped the player. That's the call, and I think those are good calls because they take away, well, not the Smith one. That's just a bad decision. But the Yamamoto, it takes away an advantage that the Kings created by a poor play by an Oilers player. So call it. So I really have no problem with the reffing. I think it's fine. I think players just figure it out and adjust. But when it's targeted on a specific player, I think you've got to manage that a bit. Otherwise, it becomes open season on the Stars, and I think we all don't. No one really wants that. I'm talking outside the whistle. Whistle to whistle, you want to run the Stars, I get it. After the whistle, I think you got to protect those guys.
Yep, it's going to be a fun one tomorrow night, Strutty. Keep us posted on the vibe out there in Edmonton. We'll do the same here in Toronto, and we will reconnect next week, and we'll see what happens. Thank you for this, honestly, Matt.
Two things. I hope the Oilers and Leafs both win because I think it's good for hockey and good for it. And which Marner jersey are you wearing, Hayes? The home, the away, or the third jersey?
I'm thinking the St. Pat's tomorrow. Maybe the Arenas jersey. Maybe the Arenas. One of the truly exclusive ones. Feels right tomorrow night. The face of the 2015 draft. You know it, Strutty. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Oh, man. Let's hope they both win. Honestly, I hope they both win. I really do.
It's good for the game. Yeah, it
100%.
Is.
It's good for us.
Yep. Forget the game. It's good for us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what matters here. Thank
exactly.
you, Strutty.
No.
Enjoy
it. You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Jason Strudwick from TSN out in Edmonton, long time. Oiler and NHL and our good buddy. Yeah, that's the I was talking to my wife about that. We were at lunch, and I'm like, if the Leafs lose, and I don't want to keep harping on that because obviously this can play out one of two ways, but, you know, different context. Different avenues will be taken in terms of where we go, but we've done that show so many times. Like, we've done that show.
I can't, man.
We've done it, and we've never done a show. The three of us have done thousands of shows and talked about this team for hours, like years of our lives have been spent, and we have not had the ability to do a show where we said, they're back to square one, game one, tomorrow night. You know what I mean? No, like, they won a series, and now they're playing
someone
else.
Let's refocus on a new opponent. We have never said that.
Let's do it here.
I agree.
Come on now, Leafs.
But here's the opportunity that we have is instead of going what if and coulda, shoulda, and that, let's just deal with what happens tomorrow night.
Because we'll find out.
Exactly. Like, that's the hardest part that I find. And, you know, I got the same questions today that everyone got. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? I don't know. I'm not in that room. I don't have the ability to put the skates on. And believe me, if I did, I would hurt the team. You know, like you're helpless as a fan. You cheer and the anxiety is high. You can tell right now the city is on pins and needles. I don't know how you guys feel.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's anxiety here.
Everyone's kind of, listen, this is what you get as the series builds up. It's game 7 on a Saturday night. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better.